5. If you don't have a Bible, you should find one in front of you, in the pew in front of you. Matthew chapter 5, I'll be looking at verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. But we'll start in verse 13. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, over the past few weeks, I have been watching and listening with great interest a story involving a Canadian pastor. Now, you don't often hear about Canadian pastors in the news, at least here in our neck of the woods. But this one has made headlines. James Coates is pastor of Grace Life Church in Edmonton, Alberta. And about 3 weeks ago, he turned himself in to the authorities and he was arrested. What was his crime? Some of you may not have heard this story. Well, his crime was preaching the gospel. That's right, preaching the gospel. Now, there's more to the story than just that. Pastor Coates was arrested for holding church services despite government regulations and mandates to limit church capacity to 15%. And of course, that's all due to COVID. But since that time, Coates has remained in prison, and just a couple days ago, he was denied bail. So his trial is not set till early May. So he's most likely going to remain in prison for that time. Well, this story is of interest to me for several reasons. First of all, as most of you know, I grew up in Canada. And someone was asking me the other day, "Do you know him?" And I'm like, "No. No, I know Canada is a small country in terms of population, but there's still like 38 million people there. So I don't know him, but I have that in common with him." And obviously, just like Pastor Coates, I'm a pastor. I'm around the same age, got a young family. And I realized, or as I thought about this, I realized that could have been me. And yesterday I was watching an interview with his wife. She's done several interviews, and it was really fascinating. She described everything that led up to his arrest and how exhausted she was and just how hard it's been on the whole family. As I was watching that, I was kind of saddened, but at the same time, I was encouraging. In fact, I was rejoicing in my heart. And the reason for that was because I could see how God was using this. You know, really sad story. You know, this guy gets arrested for holding a church service. But yet God was using this. God was using their church. And this story now has made headlines around the world. His sermon, the last sermon that he preached on February 14th, it was on Romans 13 and civil disobedience. And that sermon has now been viewed like tens of thousands of times. You can watch it on YouTube. And the church has reached out to law enforcement officials that have been visiting their church for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they've tried to minister to them. And so as I thought about this, I was filled with joy. God has taken something that's not so good, and he's made it good. And he's using this for the furtherance of his kingdom, for gospel advance. So you can be in prayer for Pastor James and his wife, Erin, and their kids. It's got to be hard. We know that. But God will strengthen them and give them endurance. And they are being light in darkness. They really are. People in that area have no doubt heard about that story. They will have to take notice. Today we're going to talk about light. Jesus says there in verse 14, "You are the light of the world." Fascinating statement. Have you ever stopped to think about how amazing light is? Think about light. The third verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light is something so prominent in our world that we often take it for granted. Every morning we know that at a certain time, the sun is going to rise. Every evening we know at a certain time the sun is going to set. It's regular, it's normal. And I think we often overlook the fact that light is amazing. And if you studied the properties of light and the science behind it all, you'll know this. We shouldn't be surprised because our great God created light. He's the creator of all things, but that includes light. And there are many reasons that light is critical and essential to us as human beings. We've already talked about the obvious reason. Light brings illumination. We can see. But there's more. Light allows plants to grow and living organisms. And these plants provide us and other species with food. So they are essential. We would add that light helps us emotionally and psychologically. Just think of the last week. We had a few sunny days. And for some of you, that did wonders. We love the summer. We love just sitting in the sun, soaking up those hot summer rays. People get down and depressed in the winter because there's less light. There's more darkness. So these are just a few of the many reasons why we would say that light is critical, it's essential. And now, we go back to these words of Jesus, "You are the light of the world." You are. I am the people of God. It's important to understand here in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus often talks like he's just talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. No doubt there were many onlookers who were curious. They wanted to know, who is this guy that's creating such a stir, that's healing people, that teaches in a way that we've never heard before? But there were also many people that now believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So think about this. You are the light of the world. That implies that everyone else is walking around in darkness. And that's true, isn't it? Romans 1:18 and 19 says this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them." So why has God's wrath been revealed? It's right there. Because of the darkness and the sin and the evil in this world. Here's another verse. 1 John 5:19. "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." The whole world. Satan is the prince of the power of darkness. So when you think of Satan, you can just think of darkness. When you think of God, you can think of light. Now, as Christians, we live in this world. That's pretty obvious. And it's a dark world. It's an evil world. All you have to do is look around and you see that there's something very wrong with this world. There's evil all around us. And it's not as if this is something new. This is always been the case ever since Adam and Eve. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that things are worse than they've ever been before. I'm not going to deny that things are going downhill rapidly. When a pastor in Canada gets arrested for preaching the gospel, that's proof. It's troubling. It's shocking. But at the same time, people are martyred every year all around the world for their faith, for their testimony, like tens of thousands of people. It's been that way for a long time. In fact, you could go back to the New Testament, to the early church. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to read verses 4 to 6. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. In their case, the god of this world, and we know that that's Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Paul takes us back to the creation account. And it's the same God who spoke the world into existence, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That same God has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God through Jesus Christ. So that's our reality. We were living in darkness. We were blinded. We couldn't see clearly. But then God shone into our hearts. He gave us that knowledge. He gave us that light. Friends, do you realize what an amazing thing it is to be a Christian? We have been given an understanding of the truth. God has revealed himself to us, and he's opened the door of salvation to all who believe in his name. He's shone into our hearts. He's given us the knowledge of the glory of God. How privileged we are, how blessed we are. Everyone else, they're just walking around in darkness. Can't see straight. They're blinded. They don't see things as they really are. But God's light and his love has shone into our hearts. And obviously, we can't be proud. We can't be boastful and think that somehow we're better than everyone else. And I say that because it's only by the grace of God that we have that knowledge, that we have that illumination. But just to go back to the point, we must not overlook the fact that we live in a dark world. It's an evil world. And it needs to see the light of Jesus Christ. The gospel needs to shine forth. And this world has no place for truth. It really doesn't. This world is Satan's domain. It lies under his power and influence. And all too often, we as Christians, we snuggle up to the world. We try and get as close as we can to the world. And I hope you see that's problematic. The goal is not to get as close as we can without being burned. The goal is to reflect the light of Christ. Keep in mind that this world is not our true home. We're just sojourners. We're just passing by. We're journeying to heaven. And the Bible tells us that we are not to conform ourselves to the pattern of this world or the patterns of this world. We are to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So we don't want to snuggle up as close as we can to the world. And we don't want to be naive. This is a dark world. It's been that way ever since the fall, and it will continue to be that way until Christ returns. But let's take a closer look at Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. If you go to John 8:12, this is one of the, I think, seven I am statements in John's gospel. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So this is who I am, Jesus is saying. And if you follow me, you will have my light. You won't walk in darkness. So 2,000 years ago, the light of the world came into the world. And he did so in order to save sinners. Well, as you know, the world rejected the light. And it's continued that way ever since, at least the vast majority of people. But here's the good news. And there's always good news when you're looking at the Bible and when you're talking about the gospel. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And notice how Jesus didn't say, should not walk in darkness. He said, will not walk in darkness. So there's a difference there. Big difference. Friends, there's only one class of Christians. Those who walk in the light. There's not two. There's no such thing as the carnal Christian. Sometimes we hear that. There's no such thing as the Christian who does as he pleases and who lives just like everyone else, just like the rest of the world. We don't see that in Scripture. We are called to be holy as God is holy. Now, we do need to make a distinction. While the light that comes from Christ originates in himself, the light that we have is borrowed. Let me say that again. The light that comes from Christ originates in him. But the light that we have is borrowed. Our light is simply a reflection of the true light that's in Christ. Friends, we have a message. God is light. There's not one speck of darkness in him. And when we talk about Jesus, you're talking about absolute purity. Absolute holiness. And this is good news. We actually have something to tell people. We have a message in a world that's desperate for hope. Jesus is light. Someone has come into the world. He's won the victory over sin and death and Satan. There is hope. No one else is pure like Jesus. No one else is holy like Jesus. And because of Jesus' purity and perfections, he is uniquely qualified to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. If he wasn't pure, if he wasn't holy, he could not be Redeemer. He could not be Savior. And John goes on to say that we, the people of God, we are to walk in the light. How can the people of God, those who know the light, walk in darkness? Essentially, what he's saying is they can't. We can't. We've been set apart. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. We're kind of strange to the rest of the world. And the goal of the Christian life is not to look as much as possible like everyone else. We are a chosen people. We are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And like I said earlier, our light is simply a reflection of Christ's light. And it's an imperfect reflection. This side of heaven, we will not attain perfection. That's what we're striving for, but we won't reach that. Let's look at the words of Jesus again in John's Gospel. John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. We all know verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And then jump down to verse 19. "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness." Why is this world such a mess? Because people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So it's very simple what's being said there. Those who are of God, they go to the light. They gravitate towards the light. Those who are of the darkness, or pardon me, those who are of Satan, who love the darkness, they run away from the light. Light always exposes darkness. Just think of a simple illustration. You turn the light switch on in a dark room. What happens? The darkness runs away. It's exposed. Where there is light, darkness cannot remain. And where the kingdom of light advances, the kingdom of darkness must retreat. It has no other choice. And Jesus told his disciples, "If the world hates you, know that it first hated me." And why do you think the world hates Jesus? Well, Jesus, he tells us there in John chapter 3, men loved the darkness rather than the light. They loved their sin. They loved the pleasure that it brought them. And therefore, they hate the light. Ponder this. Why do you think the majority of crimes are committed at night in the darkness? Crime happens in the day, obviously, but a majority of it happens in the night. Well, it's dark out. People can't see. And they don't want to be exposed. They don't want to get caught. You see, deep down in their hearts, they know that what they're doing is wrong. And that's their conscience at work. But friends, we're not a night people. We're day people. The Bible says, "You are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6. So just to summarize, Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world, and we as Christians have been called to walk in that light. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And friends, you have to understand, this is a high calling. This is a glorious calling. What an unspeakable privilege to serve our Master and Lord. What a joy to go into this dark world proclaiming the light, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now go back to our passage. I just want to read this again real quick. I know we've talked about it. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." But then consider what comes next. "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way," listen to this, "let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, when you read this, no one's going to say, "I don't understand. Jesus, you're talking in a way that's confusing." Nobody's going to say that. He gives this illustration of a city on a hill. When you have that city on a hill, it's visible. Especially at night. Especially in this day and age with all our electricity. I remember growing up, and I mentioned that I grew up in Canada. I grew up in the province of Saskatchewan. We have provinces instead of states. But I remember that our hub city, that was kind of our big city, was Saskatoon. And we would travel there periodically. We lived in a small town, so we needed to go to the big city. You know, it's not that big compared to Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, but that's where we went in order to do things and to shop and get things that we couldn't get in the small town. And I remember many times on the way home, traveling home, and it would be late at night, we'd have a full day in the city, and the city would be lit up. And I would just keep looking back and back for like 15, 20 minutes. Saskatchewan is prairie, so it's flat. And I just was fascinated by this city. It's not that it's on a hill, but you could see it. It's visible. That's the illustration. That's what Jesus is saying. The second illustration is similar. It has to do with the lamp. Obviously, in the ancient world, they did not have electricity. But lamplight has been around forever. And for thousands of years, people relied on lamps and torches to get around at night. Think about what Jesus is saying. Would it make any sense for someone to light a lamp and then hide it? Would that make any sense to put a basket over it? It would have absolutely no value. The only thing it might do is burn the basket. So Jesus makes the point that you put it on a stand. You want to make it higher so that it gives more light. We understand what Jesus is saying. If you have light, then the purpose is to illuminate the darkness. Well, how does Jesus bring home the illustration? He says, in the same way, let your light shine before man. Shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify God. It's a remarkable statement. So think about this. We're to let our light shine before others. We have the light because we are in Christ. And if we go back to verse 13, we didn't look at this, but we're to be salt of the earth. And in that sense, we are to preserve a dying and decaying world. But at the same time, we are the light of the world. We've been sent into the world to shine light into darkness. Many of you grew up singing that great Sunday school song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." And I actually pondered singing it for you, but then I thought better. I'm not going to do that. You've heard it before. It's a simple song, but it makes a powerful point. God has called us to be light in darkness. Another way of thinking about this would be, we are witnesses. We are to testify on His behalf. We are ambassadors for God. And of course, this encompasses our message. But it also has to do with the kind of life we lead. We are to be set apart. We are to be different. We're not to fit in. We're not to mingle and live lives that are the same as everyone else. We're to be separate. We are to be holy. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. It's another way of saying complaining. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Some translations put it, you shine like stars. And I love that. We are to be luminaries. We are to be lights in the midst of a dark world. And again, the Apostle Paul, he wants to point us to this high calling that we have as Christians. Those who attach themselves to the world, they don't fight sin. They're not pursuing holiness. They're not being light to the world. And I would go so far as to say that we can question their salvation. I mean, if you're in Christ, why wouldn't you pursue those things? And today, we don't talk much about separation. I think there was a time where that was more emphasized. But again, let's go to Scripture. The Bible says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." And Paul goes on there. He quotes from the Old Testament. But what accord, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Well, as we come to the end of our passage, we go back to these familiar words of Jesus. "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works," and notice this, "give glory to your Father in heaven." Now, friends, it's not our good works that save us. We know that it's only Christ alone that can save us. However, our good works can point the world to Christ. Jesus said that when they see our good works, our good deeds, our service, our love, they will give glory to God. And my hope and prayer for this church is that we would be that kind of church. That we would be a people of good works. That we would be a people who demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. That we would be a people who live great commission lives, evangelistic lives. That we would be a people who truly are the light of the world. And in so doing, the world would have no option but to glorify God. That's what should drive us as Christians. And as a church, the glory of God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Friends, we are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. We're not just talking about super Christians, saints, that kind of thing. At least saints in the Catholic understanding of saints. This is talking about every true believer. You are the light of the world. And never forget what Jesus said. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light. And when someone puts their faith and trust in him, they are brought into union and communion with the triune God. Friends, we are to reflect the light and glory of Christ. And that's why Jesus could say that you are the light of the world. We, as a body of believers, are the light. Let me close with a story. This is from pastor and theologian R.C. Sproul. He's now with the Lord. Here's what he writes. "My best friend in college and seminary was a young man who had been born and raised in the mission fields of Sudan and Ethiopia. His father was a pioneer missionary for 50 years among primitive tribes, for many of which he was the first white man they had ever seen. One day, my friend showed me a photograph of a group of natives from an animist tribe to which he had ministered. There are 12 natives in this picture who are Christians. See if you can identify them," he said. There was nothing distinctive about those in the picture. They all looked and dressed the same way. Nevertheless, choosing the 12 was an easy task. They were the ones, who were radiant, The joy and life of Christ was written plainly on their countenance. Having come out of utter darkness, they reflected the light of Christ. I love that story. And friends, may we reflect the light of Christ. May it be so obvious and evident that we have been with Jesus, that we know Jesus, that the world couldn't help but take notice and give glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for saving us by your grace. And Lord God, if there's anyone here this morning who has never taken that step of faith, they've never cried out to God for salvation, would you convict them of their sins? And would they repent and call upon the name of the Lord? Father, help us as a church family to be light in darkness. We all know that this is a dark world. We all know that it needs the light of Jesus Christ. So would you do a great work in our midst, in this church, in this county? Call people to yourself and bring glory to your great name. Amen.